Timothy 1, the Apostle Paul here is talking about his own testimony, how the Lord called him and put him into the ministry. And we can draw a lot from this beautiful passage. Beginning in verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." So I'm going to take my title from verse 12, "Enabled Me." Enabled me. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord. And as we just sang, how great thou art. We look forward to that day when we can fall on our faces before you and worship you in purity. And until that day, may we worship you every day and live for you. And as we learn through this passage, you've enabled us. Now may we serve you. I pray that your will be done in every heart through your powerful word today. We love you and commit the service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in this passage, we see God's side and we see man's side. But the ultimate end is that God wants us to serve him. And the Apostle Paul here is saying, God is using me as an example of what he wants in all of you Christians, and that is he wants us to serve. Did you notice he used that word pattern there in verse 16? He said, God is using me as a pattern. God is using me to show the world what he can do with, as he said in verse 15, the chief of sinners. So starting in verse 12, he says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me." That's God's side. If you're a born-again Christian, God moved in. Amen? In the person of the Holy Ghost, God indwells you. And when he moved in, he enabled you to serve him. He gave you gifts of the Holy Ghost. There's 13 available to Christians today. God gave you one or more of those gifts. Why? For the purpose of giving you gifts? No. So that you can put them to use. He enabled you for the ministry. The Bible says even about the early church there in Acts chapter 1. He says, "You shall receive power." Acts chapter 1 verse 8. "After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So God has given us his power. He's given us his gifts. He has enabled us for the ministry. Look at Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 if you would. And Paul here is saying, I am not an effective church planter. I'm not an effective missionary because of who I am. I am that because of what God has done. He has enabled me to do these things. Philippians 2:13. It is God which worketh in us and you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Two of the key words in that passage are two of the small words. Will and do. Look what it says. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. God wants to work out his ministry through us. Amen? And not in our own strength, not in our own power, but through his power and his strength. God is going to do that if we will let him. And that's what Paul's trying to teach us here. Many of us quote Philippians 4:13 quite often. I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yes, we can accomplish great things, but it's God that's accomplishing them, not us. So Paul here is saying, God enabled me. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:5 quickly if you would. God enabled me to serve him, he says. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. God not only enables us, God is the one who is sufficient. Now, how much sufficiency would that be? Well, we're talking about God here. That's infinite. Amen? So for a Christian to say, I can't serve God, it's a lie. God's enabled you. God's moved in. God's imparted you with gifts. God is there ready to use you in His ministry. So moving on, 1 Timothy 1:12, he says, He hath enabled me, verse 12, and that He counted me faithful. That's our part. So God's part is the enabling. Our part is the faithfulness. Our part is now doing something with the enablement that God has given us. That's man's side. Now we looked at this passage a couple of weeks ago, but 1 Corinthians 4, if you turn there quickly, and verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Look what it says. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. So Paul says, God called and enabled me to be His apostle, to be His church planter, to be His missionary, and He counted me faithful. God knew what kind of person I was and counted me faithful. That's my side. God knew in advance that I would be faithful, and He was. You know, when God talks about Moses in the book of Numbers, He's recounting for the people what has happened. And He says in Numbers 12:7, My servant Moses is not so who is faithful in all mine house. Of all the things God could have said about Moses at that particular time, this is God speaking. He said, My servant Moses is faithful. That's our side. God believes in every one of us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Do what? Do it all. God calls us to serve Him, but then He says, I'll do it through you. You don't have to do it in your own strength. You are enabled. So go do it. So back to our passage, 1 Timothy 1:12. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. My friend, if you're a born-again Christian, you are in the ministry. That doesn't mean you're serving in the ministry, but God has already put you in. He's already assigned you a task. He's already made you one of His stewards. And He has a job for you to do. He hasn't just left you out there. He says, I'll do it through you. I've indwelt you. I'll give you some special gifts. I'll enable you. But I have put you in the ministry. And if you're a born-again Christian, God's already done it. You're one of His soldiers. You're one of His servants. You're one of His stewards. You've been put into the ministry. Now God is waiting to be able to count you faithful, to do your part and actually use those gifts, use that enablement to serve Him. Back to our passage, verse 13. Who was before, this is Paul talking about himself, a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. So Paul's not holding back any punches about what he was before God saved him. He said, I, even though I thought I was doing it for God, was actually blaspheming God. I even thought that I was doing it for God. I was actually persecuting God's own people. And even though I thought I was doing it for God, I was injuring and even killing God's people. Now, do you think it's a coincidence that of all the people that were on the earth during that time, that God just accidentally chose the one guy who was the most damaging to the cause of Jesus Christ to be His apostle to the Gentiles? Or do you think God was making a point? I think we all agree. God chose Paul on purpose, didn't He? He chose the very guy that Christians were most afraid of, the very guy that was rounding them up, putting them in prison, having some of them killed in the name of God. That very man is the one that God said, you are now not only going to become a Christian, you're going to become a leader of Christians. You're going to become a church planter for Christians. And he says there, verse 13, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I thought I was doing it for God. I thought I was actually serving God when I was actually attacking God. Remember when God called him and he said, Jesus said to him, why persecutest thou me? More proof that Jesus is the body of Christ. Amen. How can you be persecuting Jesus when Jesus is in heaven? Well, because you were persecuting his body, his people. And so Paul here is saying, I was ignorant, but I was bad, and I was really contrary to God's ways, contrary to what God's will was. But once we're saved, we have no more excuses. Amen. Paul's not trying to use any of that as an excuse, is he? He's not trying to say, I was really bad and I did all these horrible things, therefore I can't serve God. It's not what he's saying, is it? He's actually giving God the glory and saying, even though I was this horrible, God called me. And is using me. And so we see here that God enables us, and then God on our part expects us to be faithful. But look at verse 14. God doesn't only give us gifts. God doesn't only give us his presence in the Holy Ghost. God gives us his grace. It says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. James 4:6 says, he giveth more grace. My friend, the reservoir of grace from God is always more than any need, any trial, any sin. He giveth more grace. Paul says here that it was exceeding abundant. And we all need the grace of God to serve God. And God says, here it is. I will give you as much grace as you need. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:10. Again, Paul using himself as an example here. God's grace exceeds our weaknesses. God's grace exceeds our failures. God's grace exceeds the trials he's going to allow us to go through. It exceeds the wickedness of this world. Never forget that it is exceeding abundant. 1 Corinthians 15:10, the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yea, not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Do you see what Paul is saying there? He's saying God's grace is actually what got me through all of these trials. And Paul had a lot of trials in his ministry. God's grace, he said, was always there. So we're not going to be able to go to heaven and say, Lord, I just couldn't serve you. I didn't have the time. I didn't have the energy. I didn't have the inclination. I didn't have the ability. We're not going to say any of those things, are we? Because God's already enabled us. And he's already indwelt us. And he's promised us that if we will set out to... And by the way, this grace thing is a living thing. He doesn't just say, here is a whole heap of grace. No, he gives it as we need it. Even maybe on our deathbed, we need dying grace. And it'll be there when it's needed. But we have to go forward by faith. And so we see here that God enables us. God gives us infinite grace. God expects us to do our part and be faithful. But in verse 15, we're given the why. Why? Why all of this? This is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's why. There is no greater cause in the universe during the church age than that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. When you think about it, that the creator of the universe came to this place called earth and died for us. There had to have been a very important purpose behind all of that. Amen? and it was the love of God wanting to save sinners. So there we have the reason for all of this. Why would God put us into the ministry? Why would God then move in and enable us and give us all these gifts? Why would God promise us infinite grace as needed to serve Him? Why? Because sinners need saved. And there are millions of them. And we have the answer, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, Paul never forgot who he was. Verse 15, of whom I am chief. Paul never let it go to his head, did he? Paul never wrote in such a way and saying, you know, I'm actually an amazing missionary. No, this was always his perspective. I am the chief of sinners. And as long as that was his perspective, what's he basically saying? That it's God who's done everything through me. I'm not taking credit for anything. I'm just a wicked sinner. I'm actually the chief of sinners. It's God that did it. And as long as that's our perspective, God will keep using us. So he's enabled us. He's already put us into the ministry. We have a job to do. You need to find out what that is and go do it. And along the way, you're going to face attacks and trials and persecutions. God will give you the grace to get through those things. He's already promised it. But on our part, he says, I want to find you faithful. And I want you to be willing to do it. So then verse 16, he says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. I love that. A pattern. My wife's a quilter. I know a little bit about patterns. Why do you make a pattern? Well, you make it so that somebody else can do it. Amen? And then somebody else, and then somebody else, and somebody else. If you just make it, you don't do a pattern, great. You made a beautiful whatever, quilt in her case. Why do you make a pattern? So that others can make it too. Paul is saying, I am a pattern. Think about that. I'm a pattern to you, future Christians, of what God can do when God's people realize they've been enabled and go forward through the grace of God and serve God in the ministry that He's given them to do. I'm a pattern that the ultimate sinner became the ultimate saint in some ways. That God's greatest enemy became one of His finest servants. And if you look at Ephesians 3:8, Paul recounting this, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. But what is the point of this pattern? That's easy. God can use anyone. Even someone as horribly wicked as Paul. I've heard people say many, oh, I'm just too much of a sinner. No, you're not. If you're a Christian, those sins are gone anyway. So stop using it as an excuse and serve God. Ephesians 3:8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. See, Paul never lost his perspective on himself, did he? Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Look what he says, less than the least of all saints. If you take every saint that's ever been saved, Paul said, and take the least one, I'm less than that. He just said he was chief of sinners in the previous verse. And he says, I'm a pattern that God can use anyone if they'll just be willing to take that enablement that's already been given to us to utilize the grace of God and go forward and faithfully fulfill the ministry that God has given you to do. And the devil comes along and says, oh, I'm going to hold you back. The last thing he wants us to do is serve God. And so many Christians are held back by bitterness, selfishness, worldliness and sin, even laziness. And are any of those things going to hold up at the judgment seat of Christ? Who is the pattern given to, verse 16? To them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. That's us. I'm a pattern to future Christians. I'm a pattern to those who would believe to life everlasting. That's us. Paul says, look at me. Look at what God did with me. He pulled a guy out of attacking the church and killing Christians and made him a missionary. Look at me. I'm a pattern of what can happen when God's people take God's enablement and utilize along the way God's grace and serve God and fulfill the ministry that God's called them to do. The enablement's already there. And we can be like the guy in the parable that took the pound and buried it in the earth, waited for his Lord to return so that he could unbury it and say, here it is. His Lord wasn't very happy with him, was he? He actually took it away. The other guys, they took it and did something with it, didn't they? Gave God interest on his investment. Well, my friend, God has invested in you not only his salvation, but his presence and his enablement and his gifts, and offers to you his infinite grace. What do we have to do? Serve him. Go out and fulfill that ministry that God has given you to do, whatever it might be. That's our job. God's done everything on his side. He's just given it to us. Think about that. Now he just says, now take all of this, these tools that I've given you, all this enablement, all this power, and go serve me. And along the way, you're going to face a lot of struggle. That's okay. I'll give you the grace when you need it. It's here. How did Paul word it? Exceeding abundant, verse 14. Exceeding abundant grace. It's always available. But he hath enabled us. He hath enabled me and you, every person that's born again. He has enabled us. Now what do we need to do but put that to use and serve our wonderful Lord? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the pattern of the Apostle Paul that you wrote down so that we might look at the pattern 2,000 years later and learn what you want of us, Lord, which is to serve you, to fulfill the ministry you've given each of us to do. Lord, may we not hold back. When we stop listening to the devil who says, you don't have time, or you've sinned too much, or whatever the excuse might be, may we push all those aside and say, nope, I need to do what God's called me to do. And know that you'll enable us along and give us the grace along the way. So, Lord, I pray this would become real for each of us. And thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, if there's someone in our room that has not been born again yet, I pray they'll realize Christ died and rose again because he loved them and died to save sinners. And I pray that they'd realize they must come to Christ to be rescued from their sin condition and be born again today. Those of us that are your children, may we again set out to fulfill the ministry you've called for us. In Jesus' name.